Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And today I've got a brilliant guest in the studio, Kelly Noonan-Gores. And Kelly is the director and producer and writer of the Netflix documentary, which hopefully you've watched. And if you haven't, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It's called Heal. And the book was called Heal, Discover Your Unlimited Potential and Awaken the Powerful Healer Within. And she now hosts the Heal with Kelly podcast and is, luckily for me, in the studio with me today. So Kelly, lovely to meet you finally. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
So just for those who don't know you, which is probably not many people, but just to sort of cover the tracks, tell me about what's your sort of background? What were you doing? And then how come you suddenly wrote this incredible book that everyone bought and then went on to become a Netflix sort of super series? So just tell us all about that.
Yeah, it's an unlikely story because I was an actor for many years on and off. I grew up just kind of outside of LA, and you know, as fate would have it, I ended up acting. And so I'd been around film sets my whole life, and I knew the power of film as a storytelling medium. I actually did the documentary first and then wrote the book because there was so much. Yeah, I interviewed all these like luminaries for Heal, and I could only put like a few minutes of each of these 2 hour long interviews in the film. And I was like, I can't leave this delicious, rich wisdom on the cutting room floor. So I ended up putting all that I cut from the film into a book afterwards, because the film was so popular. But ultimately I just, I'd never had a diagnosis that was daunting. You know, Heal is about the power of the mind to heal the body and our subconscious beliefs and emotions and how they affect our health. I just really got fascinated with learning about human potential and how we are co-creators with life and not victims of life. And I think, you know, there was many, many things throughout my life that kind of planted this seed where, you know, I'm just really fascinated about energy and connection with nature and the natural way of healing and the ancient way of healing. But then really, like in my acting career, you get rejected so much in that business that I started just listening to a lot of self-help stuff and like trying to figure out what was blocking me from having this success and, you know, and just how to stay steady in my own belief of enoughness and worthiness in the face of so much rejection in this pretty gnarly industry. And so I just flooded my consciousness with teachers like Wayne Dyer and Michael Beckwith and Eckhart Tolle and Don Miguel Ruiz, and just all of these people. I would just be listening as I was driving to auditions or running and training marathons. And I just started becoming more passionate about consciousness and human potential than I was about, you know, booking acting gigs. So ultimately people would come up to me and say, how are you so healthy? What's your workout? What are you eating? And I just decided to put all of my teachers into a film to empower and inspire others like I had been empowered and inspired.
Wow. So did you think it was going to be such a huge success, or was it just more that you just got into it and you were like, I just love it, so I'm just going to do it? Or was the intention for it to become this kind of blockbuster that it became?
Yeah, I mean, you always hope it's going to be successful, but I basically, it was one of those things that you just have to do it. So you get this inspiration in your heart and it's a calling. And I, at the time I was going to this Agape, which is this international spiritual center in Los Angeles. And there was this beautiful community. And one of the teachers I put in the film is Reverend Michael Beckwith. And he would teach these sermons. He'd basically channel these sermons from all different masters, Jesus and others. But he taught me that if you have this pull, this vision in your heart, you know, God, spirit, source, energy, whatever it is, you have what it takes to see it through. Otherwise, that passion wouldn't be ignited in your heart. Like, we all come into the world with different gifts and callings and purposes and missions. So I just, as I'm listening to his sermons over and over and over, I really trusted that the fact that I couldn't get this idea of putting all my teachers in a film, and I was really inspired by the film The Secret. And so that was kind of like the template I was using, but I wanted to do it my way with my teachers. And so I just kind of it really resonated when he said, you know, like the oak tree is in the acorn, everything that you need to see the vision come to life, to see your dream. You know, if you have that passion, that dream, you also are given all the ability to see it through and see it realized. So I trusted that. And I just said, yes. And I said, okay, well, I've got to do this and show me how, because I've never directed a film and I don't know, you know, and I took the leap and then it appeared.
So I want to bring your attention to another brilliant brand, which I've been orbiting around over the past few months, and I really like it. It's called Equi, which is short for equilibrium. Now, you can pop over to their website, which is equilondon.com, and it is a brilliant brand of supplements. I've been taking the powders, which I absolutely love. They are absolutely full of nutrients. You've got multivitamins, prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, superfoods, adaptogens, we've got ashwagandha, and then we've even got mushrooms from traditional Chinese medicine as well. So it's just ram-packed. But because it's so packed full of the good stuff, they've taken out all of the bad stuff. So we don't have chemicals, we don't have fillers, we don't have binders, all of that's been taken out. So it's just pure nutrition. Now, I take a couple of teaspoons after a meal, either breakfast or dinner, and I just mix it in a little bit of plant-based milk. You can do it in water, but I drink it like a little shot, because you only need sort of two rounded teaspoons, and that will do the job. And the thing that I like about it is that they've just taken a holistic approach. So it's not a supplement for this and a supplement for that, because personally I find what I end up doing or did in the past was I'd end up with a shelf full of supplements, and then I'd just get a bit fed up with it because I'd end up on sort of 12 different things and then I couldn't really remember what was doing what. Whereas with this, it's one jar doing one thing and it's working with everything. So it's working with my hormones, it's working with my digestion, it's working with my immunity, energy, focus, skin, mood. So everything just kind of gets wrapped up into one. Now, I like that because that's kind of fuss-free supplementation. So that's why I'm really excited to explain that brand to you. So that's equilondon.com. Go and have a look at their website. Personally, I like the powder format. That's always my way. I like a little shot of milk. Don't put it in hot drinks. I like it just room temperature milk or a little bit of room temperature water. Get it down the hatch and you're sorted. And here it is. Okay, so it's so interesting because that's exactly how I feel about Chinese medicine. It was just such a weird thing for me, this sort of middle-class girl from North London, you know, who's not Chinese, and I don't have a Chinese relative in any of our family trees anywhere. And I didn't even grow up in a particularly sort of culturally mixed area of the UK either. It was, you know, it was just North London. It wasn't like I was born randomly in Chinatown or something. And yet, I remember even as a little girl, whenever we got to choose, we didn't go out for meals very often because we couldn't afford it, but when we did, sort of we'd rotate who got to choose which restaurant, and I'd always choose Chinese food, always, and I knew nothing about it, but I just always loved it. And then, you know, in came Chinese medicine, and then in came this desire to just share this incredible wisdom, which it's a different angle from what you, it's part of what you talk about, but it's not all of it. It's like a Trivial Pursuit segment of your whole, but with its own Trivial Pursuit hole over here too. But it was just the most incredible desire in my heart to share it. And that's why I think I love the podcast so much, because you just get to talk about it. And I just can't stop talking about it because it's just so great. And then the rest is just kind of the manifestation of that, because it's like, well, I have to talk about it. I can't do anything else. So I'm just going to do that. And I don't know, everything else will sort of somehow sort itself out. And it somehow does, which is what's happened with you. So, okay, so here you are. You've interviewed all these incredible people. You've had your mind blown, your life blown. It's all kind of mind blowing. So, you know, let's talk about some questions. So you call it heal. Okay, now heal is a very broad word in terms of what that does, and that can mean many things to many people. So what does that mean to you, and what was the intention of the series? To help people heal, or to just educate them, or to just kind of give them takeouts that they could do for themselves, or just to get out there and go, God, this is amazing, everyone just needs to know what I've learned. Like, what was going on there?
Yeah, I know. Everybody was like, heal is such a charged word. Like, when we were coming up with the name, I just, you know, all the successful tech startups and the companies at the time were just these like one syllable, one word companies, you know? And I was just like, I'm just going to distill it down to what, and, you know, it helps a lot of people physically heal. But again, people's journeys, there's a question like, why do kids come into this world and have the, you know, if there's so much that's related to trauma and suppressed emotional trauma, why do these innocent, pure kids come into the world and have to face, you know, a devastating diagnosis often? And so there's the spiritual dynamic too, as well. Like we don't know the path someone's soul came in here to live. And maybe it is they chose to come in for a short period of time, and that's their soul's learning, and it's meant to teach their, you know, soul family what they need to learn. And it's this perfect orchestration of you know, destiny, purpose, and mission. So heal to me is really just about exploration. I just got so turned on and excited hearing about like spontaneous healings and like, you know, spiritual, like whether it's people go to the holy waters of Lourdes or down to see John of God, who obviously that kind of went off the rails after the film came out, because he's a very human person channeling amazing things, and he was flawed as a human and talented as a channel, you know. So Heal is about the potential, and really the purpose of the film was we're so much more powerful than we've been led to believe. And so
yes,
oftentimes people search for answers outside of themselves, and we do need community, we do need healers, we do need practitioners and, you know, masters in Chinese medicine to help us through, but ultimately all the answers are within you. And we're all given this internal guidance system that's built into this incredible intelligent system called our physical human body. But yeah, ultimately what I concluded, and it's an ongoing conclusion, is that, you know, all healing is spiritual healing in a way, because we don't know what our life path is meant to look like. And a lot of people have a lot of healing occur, and then they still, you know, pass away from the disease or whatever. So it's just this exploration of like what's possible when it comes to being human and healing and creating the life that we desire.
It's so true. And so, okay, so from that then, so people are going to say to you, okay, what are the three key things that you've from the whole process of learning and then producing, creating, and the continued journey. So at this exact moment in time today, what would be the three things that you just know to be true that perhaps you didn't know before you started all of this? But go back to when you were just being rejected with acting jobs and thinking, right, I just need to get my spirits up. So I'm just going to listen to a wisdom keeper just making me feel slightly more positive about myself. Let me give, you know, I am strong. I am worthy. You know, it starts with that. What would you say to yourself now?
Yeah, I mean,
with so much truth that you now know.
Right. I think one of the discoveries I made is one of the like major tenets is comes from Bruce Lipton's work, who was, you know, cell. He covered kind of epigenetics and how our DNA is just a blueprint. Our environment and our perception of the environment, because we all have these lenses and our subconscious programming conditioning that colors the lens of what we look through at life. So our environment and our perception of the environment actually toggles on and off genes. And then Deepak Chopra and others talked about, you know, between 1-5% of genetic conditions are fully penetrant, meaning this epigenetic factor doesn't apply to them. They're just like a genetic mutation that you just have to deal with. Like your perception and changing environment and your lifestyle is not going to affect it. So that's like Bruce Lipton thinks it's 1%. Deepak Chopra thinks it's 5%. But that means that 99-95% of the time, there's something that we can do about our condition, because we can change our lifestyle, change our nutrition, change the herbs and supplements we use, heal past trauma, change our subconscious programming, the limiting subconscious beliefs that hold us back, and can improve our life and condition. So like that's one of the main things is like epigenetics and how our subconscious programming, so between the ages of 0 and 7, are the way our brains are developing. We are just downloading the programs and the beliefs and the information from our environment, from other people. And so that kind of codes the programming through which we look at life for our whole life. And it's subconscious. So we're not even aware that we have these beliefs of lack of self-worth or belief that men are not safe if we were abused at some point, or whatever these beliefs are, that's color lens through which we look at life. And we're just going to keep attracting circumstances that confirm and make those beliefs right, you know, which we filter out the good stuff and we only search for things that will make us right. Does that all make sense so far? Yeah. So, yeah. So it's, you know, so that's just like, you know, Bruce Lipton says 75% of our subconscious programming is negative and limiting and disempowering. And so part of the healing process is like looking at that, looking at these constraints in our mind and belief systems that we got from other people when we weren't even able to make our own decisions, and how those are holding our back. So like, we got to look at those to heal and to free ourselves from and start to make conscious new program in our life. So that's a biggie, you know. And then I love another thing that I love about the film is like, you know, go get the information. We have amazing technology that gives us diagnostics and tells us what's going on in our body. Get the information from a specialist, from an MRI machine, CT, like whatever we need to do, just find out what's going on and where the imbalances are in our system. But don't accept the prognosis. Never let anybody, I don't care if they're the best specialists in the entire world, tell you what's possible for your life. So get the diagnosis, get the information. If your doctor or, you know, tells you that here are the dismal statistics of your condition, you've got X amount to live, you know, only this amount of people heal, like that's, language is so powerful. And when you buy into that language, it starts to, again, program that mind, and you're going to start to seek out evidence. And that's, so it's almost perpetuating this negative statistics. And so all these people that, you know, Kelly Turner's research on radical remission and spontaneous healing, she did this whole, it's a book called Radical Remission. It's brilliant. She did her PhD on studying people that were sent home to die. They have terminal cancer. And she found like 2,000 people that were sent home to die and they all healed. So she's like, we should be studying them. They're discounted as anomalies in modern conventional medicine, but that's a significant amount of people. And there's millions more that go home to heal. So what did they do? And she discovered they did a film. It was 9. And she later added movement/exercise because she looked back to her research and saw that all of them did a version of that. But it's 10 things that these people all did to heal their cancer, even though they were told they couldn't, right? So I don't know if I can know up. Yeah. Yeah. So 3 of them were physical, which was radically changing your diet, using herbs and supplements, and exercise and movement. So those 3 were physical. So 3 out of 10. So I think, you know, her research applies specifically to cancer. What I've seen is I think it applies to all chronic conditions. And so the rest, the other 70% are all mental, emotional, spiritual. So it's releasing suppressed emotions, increasing positive emotions, having strong reasons for living that motivate you, right? And people, you know, in loneliness and isolation is like one of the biggest precursors to deaths. Having, and then increasing social support. So community is a big one. Let's see, what are the other ones? Yeah, it's something. It's in that realm. But
no, but basically, a lot of it's common sense. I mean, the list that you've just given me, none of that list has made me kind of think, oh, okay, that, you know, everything on the list is just kind of sensible lifestyle practice. I mean, eating a healthy diet, supplementing anything in the diet that isn't quite right according for your body type or because of, you know, overuse of soil, blah, blah, blah. Exercising, getting in nature, being sociable, as in we are human beings and therefore social creatures. That doesn't mean like lodging it up every night at a party, but it means community and reason of living. I mean, one of the things that we notice a lot, including our late queen, you know, if your life partner dies, often the other person 2 years later goes. And that's happened with, you know, Prince Philip died and then the Queen died. It's sort of, you know, because your reason for living isn't quite the same. It's just the grief is too much to cope with to give you the reason. So it's, I mean, this is all just sensible stuff. It's incredible. It's interesting that you were talking though also about the 75% of, you know, the illness is the narrative. And because something that I teach when I'm doing my work is I call it the negative narrative versus the divine dialogue. Now, by divine, I don't mean religion, although it can be if you want it to be. It's just that lovely blissed out feeling you get when you're talking and working in goodness, you know, good thoughts, good words, good deeds, because goodness becomes itself. So that the negative narrative gets dispelled. I mean, it's a horrible feeling. Like if anyone's, I'm sure you've never done this, but you know, if you've ever sat down with a girlfriend, I'd write old bitch about somebody. And at first it feels probably quite cathartic. Oh, I hate that person. She's a right old bitch. Did you hear what she did? And then actually you start to, it's a bit like eating a bag of Doritos. You feel a bit disgusting after quite a short while. And you think, right, actually that's not doing me any favors at all. So I'm not sort of spiritually sidestepping, but just focusing on positive thoughts. And I don't mean wandering around going, I'm great, I'm amazing, everything's fabulous, because that might not feel true. But perhaps what we call in Chinese medicine, equanimity, which is create, and that's quite a British thing as well, kind of like, you know, not too positive, just kind of like, you know, we're quite comfortable with that over this side of the pond, just keeping it sort of nice and even tempered. Actually, but then you can enhance that up, you can dial it up all the way through to, I do feel great, actually. Like right now, I feel great talking to you, super interesting. I love doing my podcast. It's the favorite thing I do, apart from being with my kids. It's fantastic. So I'm naturally going to feel like upbeat when I'm doing this versus perhaps something else, which I'm slightly less keen on, but nonetheless will maintain a divine dialogue about what it is that I'm doing. So how have you created from all the work that you've done easy ways, easy hacks, for example, to just soften down the negative narrative, which, as you've said, is 75% of half the problems, not even half the problem, 75% of the problem.
Right. I mean, it's knowing what I know. So I know that.
Yeah, you know a lot.
I know a lot.
Which is what we want to know. We want to know what you know.
As much as I want to sit and bitch and I feel very justified in doing it about certain people recently in my life. What I know is you can't heal when you're in victimhood, when you're like just bitching because they did this to me. And, no, I have a, like, you feel justified in your anger and your emotions. And a lot of people, look, I think it's normal, like get it out of your system, but to live there and to hold on to regret and resentment. So Joan Borisenko is another woman that's in the film. She was one of the pioneers in holistic medicine. She was running like a integrative holistic cancer clinic, you know, 40 years ago. So she was ahead of the game. And she said, without a doubt, like the ones who didn't heal from my program were 100% of the time always holding on to a regret or resentment. So a regret is something that they're not forgiving themselves for, mistakes, lost opportunities, relationships, whatever. And then resentment is not forgiving someone else for what they've done to them, you know? And so when we're holding on to that because we are just so angry, that energy stays in our system. And, you know, so now that I'm aware of that, and I've had a very intense emotional personal year, like I just
come the spiritual challenges. Literally, the minute you get the message, they come in with the test. I say this to my ladies all the time, because it is ladies basically, and I go, you wait, I've just delivered you the bombshell. You've just delivered one right there to anyone listening. And then everyone will sit there listening going, that's a really good idea, I'm not going to do that. And I guarantee that, like, you were never allowed to get complacent. So here you are with all this incredible knowledge, and then bam, in they come. It's a spiritual test. Let's see if you could do it. It's the no matter what factor. And you're like, oh no, I just failed. I suck. I've just got it all wrong again. I've got to go back to the drawing board. But the tests go up the ante, don't they?
They sure do. Woo! I've been through like the gnarliest fire of my life, emotional fire. And I have all the tools in the book. I have, you know, spiritual practices. I've been practicing meditation for, at a certain point, the tools stop working because life is asking you to up level your game. And I have all
you got to go deeper.
You got to go deeper. And so
hang on a minute. This is the sequel I hear coming now. Come on. This must be it. Surely heal part two.
100%. Now I've been inspired to do the next film. 7 years later,
of course.
I was inspired. And I'm like, okay, now there's something else for me to explore, because even I don't have the tools for this. So now the next film is going to be about how to, like, we're not given the user manual on how to be human. So like, we're all now aware, and people listen to your podcast all the time, we're aware that like emotional trauma stays in our system and we've got to heal the past traumas and release it. And there's different ways of doing that. acupuncture and all of these things. So I know all this intellectually, and I still don't understand, how do you just sit in the grief? How long are you supposed to sit in the grief? How do you process, digest, and release and express anger in a healthy way? And we have this, especially in the spiritual world, anger is a negative emotion, fear is a negative emotion. And so we have this judgment of them, and it's like, oh no, every emotion, a feeling is, emotion is like a feeling in motion. So it's energy motion that is wanting to move. So how do we learn how to move that energy or be in flow with life so it doesn't get trapped in the system, or so we don't get like ripped down this current of anger and rage and or sadness and depression, you know? So I want to go on that exploration because I'm in the fire and I'm trying to do the meditation or release or forgive. And I still want to kill people. You know what I mean? Again, it's ancient wisdom, this emotional alchemy. And it just shows how brilliant our human body is to navigate and this earth school with and the suffering. It's like, there are tools we can actually tap on the organ and the fact that it's organized and, still down from thousands of years of ancient wisdom. It just blows my mind that people have figured out and mapped the meridians and the organ systems and which ones process different emotions. It's like, it's a code we're meant to crack, and collectively we're all cracking, but it gives us the tool. Like, we're sent down here, and a lot of us are flailing because we just don't have these tools. And so this is exactly, again, I'm still learning. So I've never had the emotional alchemy tool. It's exactly what I need right now, because it can actually, just a shift state of getting really triggered. I had this crazy grief moment released 2 days ago, and I hadn't ever cried like that. And I was by myself, and it was just the perfect circumstance to just help me release and get all of that out of my system. But I also, as I'm in that intense emotion, I was flailing. I was just like, what is this? And how do I do this correctly? Cause it was just coming in waves, and just I'm wailing. It was ugly crying. I was like, should I film this for my documentary? You know, my next documentary. I was like, I couldn't even bring myself to do that because it was so intense. You know, it was that gnarly. But had I known the emotional alchemy, it's just something to help move it through to where, you can diffuse it and dissolve it. And you're not just flailing in life. And just so many people are flailing in life because they don't have the wisdom or the tools to help us through these inevitable moments that we're going to go through in Earth School, because our soul chose to come here to learn these things, you know?
Yeah. God, that's so interesting, because I think what's so fascinating about your story, because we've sort of gone beyond what you've produced into your own actual story about it or around it, is it's like the first thing that we were talking about really was the rule book and the textbook somehow sort of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And the book was there, and then it all just kind of got lost and sort of fragmented over the midst of time for various sort of historical reasons. And all of a sudden we're all coming back together again, and this information largely gathered by part one, but with plenty left for part two, three, four, five, six. It's like Harry Potter series, isn't it? So, and it's like, well, the first thing is get the rule book out there. The first part is just get the information out there so we actually know what we're doing. And I say in clinic, 50% of the solution is understanding the problem. Once you've actually understood what's going on, you're already halfway there to solving it, because the mind is the greatest healing tool. So understanding. So there we go. In come then the tests. The life tests, which is, all right, smarty pants, so you've understood the rules, you've got the rules, you've understood them, you've even filmed them and documented them for everyone else. So good. Now we're going to test you. So let's put them to the test and see how we get on. So in come the lessons, in they come, and the deeper the soul journey, the harder they become. And as you said, a bit like capacity in the life, that you think you're busy until something else comes on. You have a baby, or you take on a new job, or you take on something else or something extra, or you move house, or you go through bereavement, or life lessons, life tests, life, like Earth School tests. I literally call them like your exams. They're like Earth exams, and it's always useful for me when I get them. I literally sort of have a thing in my head going, "It's a spiritual test, everybody!" And then I get the gong out and I go, "It's a spiritual test. She's having a spiritual test. It's okay. She's having a spiritual. How's she going to get on? How are we going to do it? Am I going to swear? Am I going to have a meltdown? Am I going to collapse? Am I going to cry? Yep, I'm going to do all the above. But will I get there in the end? And hopefully, with the good intention, the answer is yeah. I'm going to give it a damn good go. And if I fail, then they're just going to have to send me another one. And my ultimate test is, please don't let me have to come back down again. I'm so over the whole thing. I just want to pass go. It's like giant great Monopoly. I just want to get off this bloody board once and for all. And then I can go off into the higher plane. Because the thing about what I describe it when we practice Qigong is, the thing is, when you go to source, heaven, God, what, you know, whatever your spiritual belief system is, I call it the top of the Wi-Fi, which I find conveniently sidesteps all religious practice. Which, because I can just get straight out of it and go, right, look at the Wi-Fi on your computer, everyone, okay? And look at that little diagram. And the bit that you want to get to in soul is above the top line there. Because that's that state, isn't it? That's the Wi-Fi signal. And all of us in Earth School are trapped somewhere on one line, or we're somewhere, we don't quite know where. I mean, I've got a free fact sheet about this, the nine levels of the soul, if anyone wants it, but like, it's any, well, you talked about it anyway. But anyway, so you've got somewhere or other, we're all caught up here, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And the intention is to get out to the top of the line. So the more intense the test, like, the greater chance you've got of getting your 100% pass mark, and then you're kind of out the other way. So it's, I always find humor is a really easy way to A, learn, and just B, cope. I've rambled off again. You make me ramble because you're so interesting.
No, I love it. But we could talk for hours. It's...
Well, one last thing on that is that separation from husbands. Now, that is a really interesting thing at the moment, because this is in Chinese feng shui, this is the Red Phoenix year. And the rise of the Red Phoenix is very much what you're finding is women everywhere are leaving husbands, jobs, sort of patriarchal situations. And I know I'm sounding terribly cisgender with this, but, you know, my audience is a sort of middle-aged female born in the late 20th century. That's kind of how we were brought up. We were brought up with Cinderella, thanks Hollywood, you know, mop enough floors and you're going to get whisked off by a handsome prince. And you're like, oh, great. Okay, well, I have mop floors and it sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm not needing to be whipped off. And we're living in these marriages where many of us are just thinking, actually, I don't want to be in this anymore. I just want to be on my own. Like, I just want to be out and just want to be sovereign. You know, sovereign, just the sovereign state. It doesn't, it's not even necessarily that one is either happy or unhappy or fulfilled or unfulfilled. It's just, I just need to be sovereign. And I think it's this year specifically, but I think it's this moment in time in the history of the 21st century that this time 100 years ago, certainly in the UK, we had the suffragette movement, just a bit beyond 110. So, you know, which was the rights for the female vote. And you think, well, that's not just about the vote. That's about an opinion. It's about a voice. That's just about actually just having any kind of presence in this world beyond your reproductive systems and being chattel. And here we are 110 years later, kind of going, well, this has been quite the journey. And many of us were sort of told in the 20th century at our generation that we were equal, which in England, again, we had a queen and we had Margaret Thatcher. So it's like, oh, we probably were, because, you know, we've got female prime minister, we've got a female monarch, and like, that's great. And then you get into the workforce, you go, oh, we're not equal at all. Hang on a minute. My boss has just tried to shag me in the stockroom and I just don't know what I'm supposed to do about that. But the reality is that here we are now living the reality of the narrative of this is our shift as equalizing this gender. This is our shift for bringing divine feminine wisdom up, because it's been squashed along with the female narrative. And it came from the divine feminine, came from the females. It did. It came down the feminine line. And it's fascinating, fascinating stuff. And I think when someone as incredible as you with such a life mandate is going through what you've just described as some heavy healing pivots, shall we call them, please let me offer my services to just like see what's going on there under the bonnet, because I promise you it will give you some serious insight for part 2.
Oh my God, I would love that. I'm so honored. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you so much. Well, on that lovely note, Kate, it's been an absolute honor to just be in your presence for now. So thank you so much for joining my humble Own Your Health podcast. I'll look forward to speaking to you again.
Yeah, you're coming on my podcast, because this is an amazing conversation.
Thank you, darling. Lots of love.
Lots of love. Thank you.